Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Jack and I call it stick and move. Stick and move, man.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Hey, tell you right now, 57's firing. He's the new Clowney.
Hey,
you don't play Mike. Why would you line up there?
Right here.
Put your hands up, tell everybody you made the play. You like last one. Put your hands up, tell everybody. Oh. You're just making up alerts. You're like, you hear things, you scream, reverse, you don't know what's coming.
It's Philip Rivers talking smack to the Texans last year. They're going to get a double dose of that this year. We know here in H-Town, the Texans are sticking and moving, according to King Bill and Jack Easterby.
Jack and I call it stick and move.
Stick and move, man. Stick and move. But what are they doing in the other two cities that are a threat to the Texans winning that third straight division title? No disrespect to Jacksonville. You guys can sit on the sidelines here.
We're going to build that squad.
The Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts. They're sticking and moving in Houston. What are they doing in Tennessee? I'm glad you asked. Let's ask Taylor Lewan, the left tackle for the Tennessee Titans, talking about the new norm about 3 weeks away from the start of the season. Here is him talking about the new norm in Tennessee coming off an AFC championship appearance.
Playing a football game, it's a one-on-one matchup. Things kind of space out when you get into a flow state and try to play those games. It's going to be different. Jogging out there when we go to announcer set, we announce the offense, and we go 77 to the one, I'm waving to nobody. It's going to be different. Getting used to the new normal. How often we have to wear a mask, and which, spoiler alert, it's all the time. As far as the games go, it's gonna suck. We wish that we could play in front of the fans, but for me, it's when I go out and play football, I'm going out and play football. I've never been thought of as a overthinker, so I'm definitely not gonna start now.
Yeah, you're definitely not an overthinker. It is gonna be weird, the introductions and everything like that,
especially here
for the players. Yeah, well, are they still gonna?
I don't know.
Whoa!
Number 99,
wow.
JJ Crickets.
That might be the biggest nobody's talking about ever. Is the PA announcer
nobody's
still
talking about
going
that
to only say the first name? Are we actually going to see the end of that?
Number 99, JJ Crickets.
What if they have fake crowd noise say it?
Yeah, but you would have to have one for everybody, including new players.
What if they did that?
Like David Johnson. Well, I guess you could use another Johnson. But you know, any of these new players. Grenard, Jonathan.
Wow. Well, that's already what it's like anyways.
Ross.
I didn't even think about that. That's Taylor Lewan, though, talking about how weird it's going to be. What about practice? How weird is practice right now? Here is Taylor Lewan as we try to sniff out the vibes in Tennessee as the NFL season approaches.
Taylor, you said the last time that you talked to us that you were hoping that these practices wouldn't be tiptoeing around and that you would actually get to have some intensity and do work almost like normal. How has that gone through the first week or so of all of this? And are you satisfied with what you're getting done?
I don't necessarily remember saying that. However, it's been intense. We have a lot of physical guys in this team, and it's definitely have shown quite a bit in practice, and guys are definitely getting after it.
I don't remember saying that. I like Taylor Lewan's how candid he is. His candidness. He seems to be comfortable, you know, just telling you what he thinks. And I don't think, because they're professionals, that it's ever going to be an issue how intense they practice and how intense, especially, they play. You know, with no crowd, it doesn't matter. You can look at the NBA. Those are intense games. and there's no fans in the stands. It's going to be the same way with the NFL.
Now, we know the Titans are coming off an AFC championship appearance, somewhere the Texans have never gone. Every team in the division has gone to the AFC championship except Bill O'Brien during the Bill O'Brien era. However, Taylor Lewan wants to make it very clear that last year is a crossroad. It's not something of better signs are ahead, better things are yet to come. It is a crossroads time period for the old Oilers.
Being at a crossroads of a franchise, I think, you know, Vrabel and Robinson have put us in a great position to be successful at this point. We have a lot of work to do. And so to focus on last year's successes is going to put us in an unfortunate position if we just keep focusing on the past of 2019. And hopefully in December, November, we're put ourselves in a position to hopefully make a run at it.
And this is what I'm talking about when you and others have mentioned that, you know, this kind of awkward coming thing, you know, that you're not getting a good vibe, I think is the word John Harris used, out of Tennessee. I'm not reading anything into that. I think they're just quietly going about and they're still angry. They're still angry about not getting the job done last year. I think they're intense and they're going to be ready.
Their biggest storyline right now is who's going to call the defense. Dean Pease has been a big part of things in Tennessee. Mike Vrabel, he's gone back and forth on the defensive play calling. He's been asked a lot of questions about it. Tell me if it sounds like Mike Vrabel's getting a little bit testy about having to answer questions about who's going to be calling the plays on the defensive side of the rock in 2020.
Yeah, Mike, just wanted to check on the play calling thing one more time. I know you had said earlier that you and Shane would kind of work things out. With him doing it today, was that the way things went? Is that a good
I step? I told him what to call on every play, John, and he just talked to the linebacker. You know what I mean, I don't.
Okay.
Or maybe he did. Maybe he called everyone, and I hand signaled.
Okay. Like, see, but I still, I guess I'm a bit of an encouraging development for Shane too, and that I guess this was a first for him.
A first from the standpoint of
just calling some play. I don't think you guys have done unscripted before today, right?
I mean, we've done that in the years that I've been here.
Okay.
We've done that before in the past, believe it or not. So.
Vrabel is not tipping his hand in the least bit. Well, maybe he called him. Maybe I hand signaled it. Not tipping his hand. I don't think it matters that much, does it?
Really? It doesn't matter who calls the defense?
Well, because it's a lot different than offense. Defense.
I would say it's maybe more difficult.
I think the most difficult thing. Well, first of all, you have fewer plays and sets.
Okay.
All right. So that makes it just by default a little bit easier. I'm not trying to downplay how important it is to call your defense, but I think the most important thing is when to pressure, when not to pressure. And that's going to be a collaborative effort anyway. Because even Bill O'Brien, who's an offensive-minded guy, will tell Romeo or whomever is calling the defenses, in this case Anthony Weaver, let's bring some pressure. I want you to bring some pressure. And then they'll do it. You know what I'm saying? It's collaborative anyway when it comes to pressure, no pressure. Now, I know all our experts are going to, you know, Wade and Clint and the whole nine yards are going to say, you're crazy, John. Defense is – I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's easier, and the head coach is involved in pressures anyway.
Here's Mike Vrabel on the fans. We've already talked about fans not being at the game, and some teams are going to have fans. Some teams are shooting for 20%, so on and so forth. Here's Mike Vrabel as we continue to weigh out the vibes in Tennessee, talking about fans being at games or not being at games.
I think the amount is probably – no, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not sure how loud 15,000 can be, but I guess maybe if there's some sold out that it could be, but I don't really – I haven't really thought in that direction yet, Teresa.
I'll say this again.
Yeah, Teresa.
Mark this, Figgy. I said it last week. I'll say it again right now. I think I'd rather have no fans than 15,000 fans.
Okay, that's weird.
Because I think it's going to look sad.
That's weird.
It's going to look like the second quarter of a Rocket
game. Sad. It's going to look cool.
It's going to look sad. There's going to be space between everybody. It's not going to be as raucous.
It's going to look like the what of a Rockets game?
The second quarter of a Rockets game. It's going to look like nobody.
Kicking them while they're down, John.
It's going to look like,
gosh,
you know, after halftime of a Longhorns game. It's sad when it's not that full. I'd rather have none than you know, a third or not even a quarter of
but
the
fans.
But
you know why.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they left. You know why.
Why?
Because they're not allowed. What do you mean, why?
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, Rockets games and Longhorns.
No. Rockets games, they're either in on the concourse drinking or they're not there. They didn't want to use their tickets. Longhorns, I don't know. It depends.
What the score is.
It depends what the score is. Yeah. But, you know, it's not going to look sad because you know why the stadium's not full.
You do know why, but it still looks sad. It looks like it's
sad.
You're conditioned to think, oh, wow, that looks awful. Just, you know, one person every six seats.
That's cool.
It's not cool. It might be a lot of things, but one thing it is not is cool.
Can you imagine
cool.
having five seats by you at a sporting event?
Well, you could spread out.
Put your legs on the seat in front of you?
Yeah.
Just get it going.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Indianapolis now. We've already gone to Tennessee. You would describe the mood as intense?
Intense. Quietly intense.
Quietly intense. Indianapolis, they seem a little bit giddy. Here's Marlon Mack, one of the top 10 rushers in the NFL last year. Colts in the second round selected Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin. There have been a lot of good things said about him. Here is Marlon Mack talking about his new teammates, Jonathan Taylor.
Motivates you. Just coming in, I know we can be great together. We come together as a team, man. Put the work, man. And our goal is everybody got the same goal in this team, man. He's going to be a beast, man. And the team should be aware of him right now. So just be ready for it.
Yikes. You and I have both heard from sources that he has just been killing it, Jonathan Taylor, in practices. Like, explosive killing it.
The Saints, after, you know, a long playoff drought, they probably should have gone to the Super Bowl 2 years ago with the missed pass interference call. Part of the reason for their emergence was Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram becoming a threat in the backfield. Both of those guys made the Pro Bowl. I think that's what Indianapolis is envisioning right now with Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor, is that type of relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think that those guys are going to embrace it. I don't think it's going to be awkward at all. And the stuff you're hearing about Jonathan Taylor is it's a pretty scary, scary sight that you're hearing. And, oh, by the way, mm-hmm. Clyde Edwards-Helaire as well, for the Chiefs, who the Texans are going to be facing in 16 days. See what Lewis Riddick said about him yesterday?
What's that?
He said he should be the number one overall pick in fantasy football.
What?
Which sounds crazy, but then I'm watching the ESPN Fantasy Football Marathon, and he goes eighth overall in that draft. And Matthew Berry, the fantasy expert, says he has him as his sixth overall guy. I don't know where this came from. I thought Clyde Edwards-Helaire would be nice. But now all of the people that study this stuff, all the people that know this stuff, are saying that this guy's just going to be all world. And by the way, the last time Lewis Riddick said draft a rookie in fantasy number one overall,
mm-hmm. Let me guess,
Saquon Barkley 2 years ago.
Ouch.
And Saquon Barkley led the league, I think, or was top two in all-purpose yards.
Yeah.
This kid that the Texans are facing in less than 3 weeks is getting a lot of rave reviews, as is Jonathan Taylor, who, by the way, is joining another 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah, and Marlon Mack, which is kind of cool. I mean, it didn't seem like it was just lip service. You know, Marlon Mack was just, like, all in with him, too. I mean, two is better than one if you got two guys like that.
Of course, the reason for optimism with the running backs is the offensive line. The offensive line for the Colts has been one of the best in football the last 2 years. Anthony Costanzo, the veteran leader of that offense, is going to be a new quarterback under center. Here's Anthony Costanzo talking about giddy-ass Phillip Rivers.
I feel like every time I talk to him, he's like a sixth-grade kid ready to play his first day of football. That guy loves football, I think, more than anybody I've ever been around. So, you know, he loves the O-line. He had a group chat going with us O-linemen in the offseason. It was fun. He likes to do the voice messages. So we'd have like a 2-minute voice message, just him talking about how hyped he is for the season. So, it's going to be fun playing with him, and I'm excited to see what he brings.
I'd love to hear one of those inspiring voice messages from Phillip Rivers. We've heard him mic'd up, and it's pretty dang cool. And he is a trash talker without cussing, too, by the way. He's like the Bill Cosby of Bill Cosby. You know, Bill Cosby never cussed when he did stand up.
Dump that.
He did some other things.
Who's another non-cusser?
He's clean, you know, like
Sinbad.
Bill Cosby.
Sinbad.
Sinbad. There you go, Sinbad.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers keeps it clean like Bill Cosby.
Well.
John Lopez just said.
I'm talking about his comedy.
Yeah, you know, it's edited like Bill Cosby. What the hell is wrong with you?
Oh, okay. Let me Google clean comedians, because Bill Cosby clearly was not my best decision.
It was not very clean. My gosh. Here is Philip Rivers. Here's a little taste of that energy that Anthony Costanzo just put out.
I threw you for a loop, didn't I?
Yeah, I'm thinking about Bill Cosby being clean. Here's Philip Rivers.
You know, you're born with it a little bit, and then I was around the environment and saw the passion my dad coached with, so certainly that helped mold that and, you know, kind of trigger some of those early on passion for the game. I feel like I got a better feel offensively, but still trying to get the defensive guys down. I try to wait to catch a glimpse of them with their mask down in front of their locker so I can see the nameplate. That helps. But it's been a good couple days.
Jim Gaffigan, by the way, clean comedians.
It's too late
it's
now.
It's too late.
Yeah, it's way too late now. You just said he's clean like Bill Cosby. That's rough. I don't think it gets less clean.
Jim Gaffigan is a clean
than Bill
comedian.
Cosby.
Yeah, I like Jim Gaffigan.
Do they still play the Cosby Show, or is that done?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. Yeah.
I think it'd be weird to watch now. I haven't watched it in a while.
It was weird just to say he was a clean comedian. What are you talking about? I mean,
it was still a good show, though.
Oh, it was tremendous. It was awesome until, you know, later, and you realized what's going on.
I wonder if there were context clues there.
During the Cosby Show? Man, I used to watch it every week. I can't think of any. Not really. Did you watch it? It was a little before your time, wasn't it?
I watched a little bit.
Yeah.
Thought it was pretty overrated, but, you know.
Did it travel well with time?
The answer to that would be hell no.
Hell no.
That would be the answer to if Bill Cosby's work traveled well with time. What are the Texans trying to do right now, by the way? We know what the Titans are doing. We know the Colts are giddy. What are the Texans trying to do?
Jack and I call it stick and move. Stick and move, man.
Stick and move, man.
Okay, stick and move.
Buddy Hackett, text board says. Clean comedian. They're trying to rescue me here. They're trying to help me out.
It's too late.
Steven Wright. It's a good one.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, he was excellent.
Never heard of him.
Fluffy.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, you have.
Never heard
Fluffy's
of him.
Fluffy's monster.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Ever. It's the OG John Lopez, Simba. Landry Locker. Figgy Fig with you.
Gabriel Iglesias. That's Fluffy.
We're keeping it clean like Bill Cosby here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. An important week for the Texans, a unique day for the Astros, plus a familiar time for the Rockets. Plus, Jack Easterby lays out the positivity for us next.
Before I answer that question, let me take it away from this specific situation in sports.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.